Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Vex X. This is the Vex on Vex podcast. We are episode number 14, joined as always by our friend, Robot. And today we have a special guest.
Yes, we do.
We have the lead guitar player, Vince, from the band Ascension Drive. Hey. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, actually.
Pretty good, actually?
Pretty good, actually.
So we're in, I like to call it the Bat Cave, but Robot does not call it the Bat Cave.
It's the Geek Cave.
This is the Geek Cave. And you came in and you saw a bunch of Star Wars toys. Mm-hmm. And you dig Star Wars.
I do dig Star Wars.
That's good.
I dig Star Wars a lot, actually.
So what, out of all the Star Wars films, what is your favorite movie, Vince?
Oh, my God.
No, for real.
I'd say Return of the Jedi is actually my favorite.
Jedi? Really? With the Ewoks?
Well, not so much the Ewoks. When I was a kid, it was really...
Well,
when I was a kid, it was mainly... my aunt and uncle, who's... saw the original movies when they came out of theaters
because
that was my cousin's very first movie ever. Understood. Saw in theaters. So they had all the VHSs.
So like you watched
OG,
them.
Yes, the OG non-edited.
So you got to see the Emperor with the fucked up eyes.
Yes, I did.
Before they were corrected in the digital. You know about that, right,
yeah,
Robot?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And then so every time we used to go there, we'd just watch Star Wars like all the entire time. And, you know, we were young kids. Not a bad thing to do on that trip. It's one of the things we look forward to do.
It's definitely positive. Now, when the prequels came out in the 90s, mm-hmm. how did you feel about that?
Well, I was really young
when they came out.
And so I liked them when they came out. But when I rewatched them as I was older,
You're making a face.
Well, to be honest, unlike most people, I don't think episode one's like the worst movie of all time.
No,
like
it's not. No,
it has its redeeming qualities.
No, like, well, let's not talk
Darth
crazy.
Maul.
All right, now wait, that's a problem. Robot's going to jump in a second, I'm sure.
Yes.
They kill him off in 4 seconds.
Yeah,
this is a phenomenal person, like mm-hmm. a great villain, and he gets cut in half. Like Robot, what do you think?
Yeah, like in 4 seconds, it's like what the fuck?
We're upset.
I'm just like sitting there, and I'm just going, "Are you kidding me?" Like, are you kidding me?
Vince looks really mad right now.
No, not at all, actually. I get that. But in those 4 seconds, though, he made an impact, though. He came in, did his thing. He was kind of the silent badass. Like, I'm going to kick your ass. Like, fuck you, Liam Neeson.
And then he appears later in canon with Robot Legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So he has a whole run later. I hope that shows up somewhere in a film eventually. I don't know.
Hopefully. That's all we can wish for.
Maybe the Kenobi movie that's rumored. Fingers crossed.
What are the chances? Like, I
want
read
that.
McGregor, I read his interview, and mm-hmm. he said he's 100% in.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rumor comes out and they're going to do it. If they don't fucking use him, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I agree. No, yeah. He's one of the best parts of the prequels.
He's
in my
the
opinion.
Guy.
But going back to that, though, so episode two... I remember liking it when I was a kid. Then when I rewatched it before leading up to Force Awakens coming out, I was just like, this really isn't good. It's like, I'm sorry. It's like, you could argue, oh, Jar Jar ruins the whole thing. I was like, episode two has like no Jar Jar and still sucked ass. Like,
what about three?
I think three is the best film in the prequels.
Oh, the three. I agree.
By far, Hayden Christensen did not bother me.
I like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
I really did.
No.
I still do.
He was really good.
Well, the wooden dialogue, which just really comes down to directing.
Yeah,
it's the director that...
And he was like the kid on the film, because Natalie Portman had been in movies since she's like 9 years old.
Yeah.
So she was like a great actress.
that reminds me, we were watching episode two with my girlfriend, who made the mistake of telling me the only Star Wars movie she had seen were Force Awakens and Rogue One. And so I said, those aren't bad.
They're not bad.
But sit down.
Yeah, you gotta...
We did... Everything. Now she loves them all. Now she like debates it with me. And
how
like,
long
so
have you guys
great.
Been together?
We've actually been together since October. That's actually a very...
So like 3 minutes. Because I'm an old man. Like, I'm on my third wife. So to hear that you're with your girlfriend since October is like, that's cool.
Well, we've known each other
12
since...
years for me. Wow. 12 years.
Yeah. We're old, man.
We've known each other since... last February. It's a long thing. We met on Twitter, of all places.
Dude, like, that's like a few seasons ago. Like, you don't even know. All right, how old are you, Friz? I don't even know.
I'm 28.
You're 28?
Wow.
No,
I'm
going to be 28.
Young.
20, 27.
You look so young. You really do.
Thank
I
you,
thought
appreciate
you were like 23
that.
Years old.
Nah.
So at 28, I was married at 28. God damn, kid, catch up.
I'm 27.
What are you doing?
I all right, should good correct point. Myself. Sorry.
Going, I think Starscream toured Europe by the time I was 25. What are you doing? You got to get on shit, man. Oh. I'm just fucking with you.
Going back to it, though, we were watching episode two, and yeah. She saw that scene where the, I don't really like Xan. It's dull. Just gets everywhere. And I sit there, and she's looking at Natalie Portman's face, and I just start laughing my ass. I was like, she looks so uncomfortable. Oh. Poor Natalie Portman. And then I'm thinking, this is supposed to be the mother of Luke Skywalker.
I know, right?
It's like, Vader, that's your moves, kid? Come on.
He was a child.
He was. I mean,
dude, when he killed a whole bunch of younglings in the third episode. Yeah. Like,
oh, jeez.
It hurts my heart, but I'm like, yes, he did it. He's the worst thing ever.
I'm glad that happened, too. He's emo Vader. Not that I promote kids being killed in movies at all, but it
solidifies he's a fucker.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's my favorite character of all time. Darth Vader is my favorite Star Wars character.
He's, for any reason, he's one of the best villains of all time.
Ever. What about you, Robot? Who's your favorite in Star Wars? Like, who's your character? Oh, IG-88, which I ask every podcast.
Okay. Everyone, I
dude,
love
I don't know if you can see it. There's a giant fucking IG-88.
The show,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's obsessed. He's obsessed. And I forget every podcast. And I'm like, what's your favorite guy from Star Wars? And he's like, you know, it's IG-88. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I guess now that you ask that, I'm going to Luke Skywalker.
When I was younger, it was Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
It and was then, younger for you, and then you
as a kid, that was my guy. And other people liked Han Solo. I didn't. I was a Luke guy.
I still like Han.
No, I
like
Han,
too.
But he wasn't my guy. I don't know. Vader's my guy now.
But going back to Return of the Jedi, the reason why is because.
Yeah.
And this is probably the dumbest thing in the world.
No,
but
it's not. What is it?
When I saw the green lightsaber for the first time, green's my favorite color.
Okay.
So when I saw that as a kid, I was like, oh, that's cool.
I got to tell then, you, the first time we see it, I believe, is in the presence of Jabba. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me all those scenes aren't amazing. Oh, when you're fantastic. Little, especially because I saw that in the theater. That's how old I am. So I go to the theater. I see this fucking movie. Dude, all of it. Who's the guy who's with the jagged teeth? I can never remember his name.
Oh, the snakehead kind
of
thing.
What was
it? Fortuna?
I forget. Bib Fortuna.
That's it.
Bib Fortuna. I had him as his character was awesome as a kid, so it was toy. So he goes, he sees Bib Fortuna. You see the mighty Jabba in person, and he's grotesque, man. Like, and then as soon as it fucking becomes Ewok planet, I'm like, oh,
yeah. I'm nervous, like,
And again, Ewoks aren't as bad as Gungans, though.
Oh, God.
But that said, we were rewatching episode one. I was thinking, you know, if he had less scenes or they just got rid of all the nonsense that he was doing, you could find a way to redeem this character, like somehow.
They're telling me that Jar Jar is the ultimate Sith Lord.
I've heard that.
That was one of the theories that had been going around for a while.
It all comes down to he is it.
Jar Jar is able to manipulate
through
everything.
Through his stupidity.
Yeah, through his stupidity.
Which isn't stupidity. It's like,
but see, that's the thing too. They say that when he does the falls and this stuff, they say it's amazing how he can like whoop whoop and it. One guy went as far as like watching the movies and saying you can see him levitate somewhat, and I'm like, wow, this guy's out in left
really
field.
Really into this,
Vince. I'm so glad you're here. Now I know we're supposed to be discussing Ascension Drive, which is your awesome rock band. I know this, but you're a Star Wars fan.
I am.
And so here's the thing: the only episodes that are available currently for the Vex on Vex podcast are 4 episodes.
Yeah.
This is episode 14, so you're 10 fucking behind as of right now. Rob and I, or Robot, had this phenomenal discussion like 2 episodes ago about the most recent movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is episode 8, correct?
Last Jedi.
Your opinion of that movie, please.
I loved it.
And my
I
man
still loved it,
and I gotta tell you,
I rewatched it. After,
and you still love it.
I rewatched it after hearing all the complaints, all the criticisms, and all I just went was, "Man, shut the fuck up!"
But that's the problem. Luke becomes Yoda.
Yeah.
How fucking awesome is
that? He was badass.
And then at the end, he shows up. He saves everything. Like he's the man.
You should see all the videos that like on YouTube with Toys R Us closing down, and some of them are like, you know, not selling Star Wars, and they're going, thank you Disney and thank you Ray for your crappy toys.
Oh my God.
Killed Star Wars with this new movie. I'm like, fucking idiots.
Ray's awesome. I love
Ray. I love Ray. Yes. I think she's
the
badass.
The only complaint I have is that they see Luke Skywalker and Rey is at the end of 7 and the beginning of 8. Mm-hmm. And the very next scene, her face is 15 pounds heavier. That's my only complaint. Her body isn't. She's ripped.
Oh, yeah, she is.
But she filled out as a human being, and her face, she gained 10 pounds in her face. So that's very dramatic for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can suspend disbelief. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that.
You got to watch
it. When it comes
again.
Out again.
It comes
it's
out, well,
out
it,
next week.
Digital copy is available now. We can get it online if you wanted to watch it. But the fucking, the DVD is in a week. Or is it? It's like 10 days, right?
Yeah.
It's 11 days. It's 11 days from today.
Oh, but everything about it, I loved how I had my theories about things going in every time I thought it was going to go this
Snoke
direction.
Dead? Look at that pause in your face.
Same as
me. I want to say he's dead because, but you know, it's Star Wars. It's like he probably wasn't even there. But
and that's the theory. Now, my wife's smarter than I am. She picked up on the subtleties that I missed. For instance, when Luke appears, as he moves around, there's no red footprints. I didn't even notice that the first time. We had to watch it twice for me to see that.
Yeah.
She also noticed that Snoke's body moved after it was cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wasn't there, how did it react to like surroundings around him? Because when they shot at Skywalker, he reacted not at all. He just brushed his shoulder. Ah, ha, ha, ha. So I don't know, man.
But if he is truly dead, though, I think that's a great move because everyone's going, oh, everyone's making a big deal about who is Snoke. And the point is, it doesn't matter. He's dead as shit.
What, Robot, what?
Wait a second. I'm thinking of a theory that might possibly answer that.
Go ahead.
Let's say he's so powerful because of his, because of his
mental capacity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mental capacity and such with the Force. What if he manipulated everyone that he was there? And staged everything, but what they saw
didn't even happen. Now, see, that's some heavy shit.
Mm.
And that's a possibility.
Ooh,
that is.
Now, who do you think Rey is? Robot knows my theory. Who do you think Rey is?
Every theory I had kind of was thrown out the window.
Why?
Like, because I was a fan of the books too, so I wanted her to be Jaina Solo so badly.
Oh,
but
well, that's
I'm
that's
glad it. I'm kind of glad. She wasn't a Skywalker, but I've taken that
theory?
Too. So here's my I think she's – this is going to sound crazy. I think she's Anakin Skywalker reincarnated.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
Because it's – why is that line there in Force Awakens? Why did Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber of all lightsabers
– in the world.
Call out to her. You? And we already know Skywalkers are so stupidly powerful. And so –
no, but I told you my theory about the
yes,
Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
That she's a Palpatine.
That'd be great.
Because the stabbing motion, that's all I really had to go on. But no one else in any of these movies, we have eight
that's
fucking
true.
Films, has ever stabbed like that with it. And she picked it up, it's the first thing she did. But yeah, Anakin, like, but then I heard that Luke was supposed to say, no, you're my father. Blah. Are you my father?
God.
No, you're my
I'm
father.
I'm really glad I didn't go that direction. Like,
yeah.
I'm
Anakin's
so happy he said.
Anakin's never showed up, ever. Now, there's a theory that you have two Force ghosts because
mm-hmm.
Anakin was at the end of Jedi,
mm-hmm.
remember? And they touched him up, and he was a completely different fucking human being. He's, Hayden Christensen. But then they say Vader could also go into his own Force ghost because you have the light and the dark.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
There is some concept art from Force Awakens during Kylo's little meditation thing.
Tell me.
It was supposed to be, and you can find this on Google simply.
Just tell me, goddammit.
All right, I got you. It's it's like, come on, Vex. Build suspense a little bit.
I'm
I can't
you.
Talk, sorry. But it showed like images of Hayden Christensen's Anakin visiting Kylo Ren, but it's slowly turning into Vader.
Holy shit, that's so heavy.
That would be cool.
Now, then
I would love to see
another theory. I think, Robot, you told me this theory, that Snoke's going to visit her.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. then fucking you're going to have, I guess, Anakin or Vader visiting him.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Oh, Luke's going to visit him.
I don't know. Because you remember at the end of the fight, he says, see you around, kid.
Yeah.
I love that.
It kills me that he almost killed his fucking student.
I know.
That makes me so sad. But he's human, and he's flawed, and that's what's amazing about it. My friends who are older than me,
mm-hmm.
literally, I'm old, and they're older than me. Is there something behind me? You keep looking. Are you a comic book guy?
I was just looking.
Okay.
Just
so my friends all called me on the phone screaming, this movie sucks! I'm like, I didn't make the movie. Like, you know that I didn't manufacture it, right? Fucking pricks.
Like I said in the podcast when we talked about it, I was like, fucking start a Kickstarter, fucking write your script.
You make your own movie.
And make your own fucking movie.
I don't want to see that because it's also Carrie Fisher's last movie. It's like,
I know.
Come on.
It's like...
That, I don't know how they're what they're going to do for this next one, but
you said
I said 5 to 10 years they're going to go forward, and you're going to see a funeral procession, and it's going to be laying the coffin.
Which, quite honestly, that might be the best way to go.
And
about
guess
it.
Who's going
to
be at the funeral? Lando Calrissian.
He'll finally get his little
buddy.
His cameo.
That was my biggest. Actually, that's my complaint about Last Jedi. Where the fuck was Lando?
Totally
he
should have
been. My one complaint I had is actually. I forget what his character's name, so I'm just going to call him Benicio Del Toro. But I was just like,
I don't know his character's name either.
This is Benicio Del Toro. But I love Benicio Del Toro, by the way. But it's like, that should have been Lando.
No. Yeah. No.
Come on, a whole gambling planet? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I like Del Toro in that role.
Yeah, I mean.
And I like when they were on the plane him. And he was like, these weapon manufacturers work for both sides, and they show a hologram of the fucking X-Wing. That was heavy.
Yeah, that was cool.
I kind of like that. All right, you're in a band.
Yes.
What's the band called?
I'm in a band. The band is called Ascension Drive, actually.
Now, how'd you guys get that name?
Believe it or not, it's just named after a street in Wilmington right by where our drummer Marcus lives.
That's fucking awesome. Shit. Sincerely, that's awesome. I love that. Better now.
Mm-hmm.
How long has Ascension Drive been together?
Ascension Drive has been together since October of 2015.
October's your favorite month.
That's where
you find your girlfriend in October. You're born in October. Your band forms in October. So you're pushing 3 years.
Yes.
Like two and a half.
It's been a ride. It's been crazy just how things have progressed.
How did
the
band get together? Because when I met you previously, you were playing guitar in that other band. And you were a part of a turtle band or something, wasn't it? I remember that. No, for real. I'm sorry.
It just went through my head. Teenage Mutant.
You're not the first person that said that. I cracked that joke in the past. We were in my lead singer, Jack, and our bass player, Kaz, we were in a band in college together called Turtles on Steroids, which was the temporary name.
Okay.
I forget how we came up with that name. It was my idea.
Okay.
So.
Same bass player as now.
Yeah, same bass player as now. And not the speak ill. It was we were doing things, and then it kind of dropped.
Understood.
And it was like it was so hard to get the gears going, and three of us wanted to keep going.
Sure.
And the other two guys we were with just went in different directions, really.
Okay.
And so when we were in college, I went to a house party.
Okay.
Somewhere, of course, as you do in college.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
Reconnected with an old friend of mine in high school.
What was her name? Motherfucker.
Well, his name was
I just realized what I did.
There's a guy I used to play guitar with named Justin Rakowski, who was playing a band called This Is True.
Okay.
And he invited me over to jam with them, and I met their drummer Marcus.
And you stole Marcus. I've done a lot of stealing of drummers in my life.
So I've heard, actually. Oh, Starscream's been through how many?
I've already spoken to your drummer, so just so we're clear.
Yeah, he's mine.
I'm just saying, the offer's been extended. No, there's no offer.
So when we were, to make a long story short, we were recording an EP with Turtles on Steroids. We put it out, and there was just more conflicting schedules, and our bass player actually quit.
Oh, wow.
Point blank. And me and my singer went to go try to change his mind, because it was like, we just released this stuff.
Yeah, you
got a
record
to go promote it. And then we went, we heard his arguments, and we were like, we didn't have anything.
So you're like, you're right, man.
He was right. And it was stuff. We were feeling that too. And it was, we were going to go search for another drummer.
Okay.
And without telling our other bandmates at the time.
I've done that trick as well, sir. You guys are learning.
Because it was, we were trying to salvage what we could.
Sure.
And just maybe seeing they could get their act together. But, and I don't mean to talk ill on those. They were good guys.
We're not talking ill. Wow. So you got a drummer.
And so I was searching for drummers.
And you stole him.
And I was on Facebook, and I noticed the kid Marcus. I was like, wait a minute, you're a drummer. I remember you. So I sent him a message.
He's a good player, too.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's a good player. And a nice guy.
He locks. Yes. He is a very nice guy. And that's the best thing about him is he enters a room, and he's like the life of the party.
And that's why I'm going to take him many moons from now down the road.
But it's like, what the best thing about him is that he locks in with. He's so big on locking into everything.
Well,
everyone
that's drums,
being in the groove. And it's like, we work so well with each other.
Sure.
We're always in the pocket. And it's just because we always work it. And he'll do things out of nowhere that just makes me laugh or, chuckle. Like, we'll be doing a song. I'll just hear a quadruple, but yeah, I don't speak drums at all. But I hear that, and I just go, okay. And I try to match him with my with my picking.
Syncopated.
And he's awesome.
He's the final piece of the puzzle. But actually, Chris is the rhythm guitarist. Yeah. So how'd you find Chris?
Well, Chris, was Marcus's girlfriend's brother.
Hold on a second. Let me digest that. Yeah. Marcus's girlfriend. I've seen her on Instagram, so I know she exists. Marcus's girlfriend's brother. Now, is it still Marcus's girlfriend? No?
Wait. Yeah, it's still his girlfriend.
You just got confused. What's wrong with your face? You're like looking at me. I was like, I said the right name, right?
Yeah. Still his girlfriend. Still his current girlfriend.
And that's the brother.
Yes.
Now, go ahead.
So her brother is actually builds his own guitars.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. All the guitars he plays with on stage have been stuff he built.
I have questions.
Yes.
Is it build kits or is this guy cutting wood and making his own necks?
It's build kits for the most part. Nah. From my understanding.
Less impressive, my friend. But continue.
Well, the paint job he does in those things.
Okay, and the wiring's hard as shit, actually.
Yeah, he knows his things. Yeah. We're always telling him, dude, you should probably...
Well, he will. It'll happen.
I hope so.
Yeah. That's how it works. You start.
But he actually came to our two biggest shows at that point, which were Voltage Lounge and the first time we played the Troc. And so awesome. It's so funny because we have a full video of us online play at the Troc, and you can actually see Chris in the audience as a fan. And so...
So did he approach the band? Did the band approach him? Like, how did this happen?
Well, what happened was he was expressing interest in Marcus with jamming with us. And at the time, he was 20 years old, so I didn't want
any underage in the band. I respect
Fortunately,
that.
That's how it is, especially around here in Delaware.
No, well, no. If you're over 18 in Philly, you can play. Like, that night that we played at Mixed Dues, the guitarist in that band was, like, 18 years old.
Those guys were great. Yeah. Era Discord?
Yes.
Oh, yo, big shout out to those guys.
Good
guys
friends.
Awesome.
And I love those guys.
But,
they've come such a long way, too. Like, they were, like, good. Now they're fucking, like, a marvel on stage.
No, they're awesome.
Visually. You would love it. Sonically, it's your thing, Robot. It really is.
Back to Chris, though. So, what I found out from Marcus is that he actually learned my guitar parts from YouTube videos.
That's awesome.
And for me, I've never had anyone do that.
That's respectable. Or respectful, I should say.
And, you know, but it was like, in Turtles on Steroids, we had two guitar players.
Let's say it again. Turtles on steroids. With me, Robot?
Turtles on steroids.
Never use that fucking band name, but go ahead.
Turtles on steroids.
Yeah, we were a five piece, so that band really should have been a four piece, if you think about it.
Huh.
This one guy was a rat. We did eat a lot of pizza, though.
The college food of
But it should have been teenage turtle steroids then. Like, you should have just, like, dialed it all the
should've
way
been.
In. Like,
why not?
Is that what it was in reference to? Was it like
a No, game? It was... I was cracking a joke about how fast a guy was moving. It's like...
That's a turtle on steroids.
Pretty much, because you figure steroids make it bigger, so a turtle would move even slower than it actually is. It was literally... I always hated saying that name out loud. Like, when people ask me what my band's name was.
You have
a
turtle tattoo. You showed me your tattoo. You're
I
like,
do,
that's
but,
our band, man.
But it also.
That's true. Robot, imagine, right? He's playing guitar with my brother in law's former band, right? That's how I meet him, right?
Yeah.
And he's number one. He won't stay to see Starscream because he had to go to his job.
I was about to mention that.
That totally offended the fuck out of me.
I broke the cardinal rule. Which you should never do, especially when you ask to borrow their equipment. And so I was so scared. The next time we saw each other, yes. Which with Ascension, I remember being, oh shit, there he
is. Do you know why we're friends now?
Because I stayed and watched?
No. Ascension Drive is that fucking good.
Thank you.
I'm not even lying to you. You get on stage, you start playing, I'm like, man, I'm mad at that guy. But fuck, that band is good. And the songs were good. And your performance was good. And I was like, I gotta watch. This is fucking great. Yeah. And then I'm like, there's no way. That's two great songs. There's no fucking way there's gonna be it. And the third song was great. And the fourth song was great. And I was like, motherfucker, they're really good.
Yeah.
It's like, sincerely, I'm a fan of
Ascension
Drive.
Thank you so much.
I'll have to say, yeah, from what I was listening to on Facebook from you guys, real tight, real clean, real good.
Live so much better.
Sincerely. Okay.
Like when you see him, like when you were at the concert or
you're
there.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, you killed it at that fucking show
did.
You killed
you guys
it.
Did too.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. But you're new and exciting. Like, I've been in Starscream 1,000 years. So, me, I'm like, eh. But I tell you, man, I was like, fuck, like, it's great. It's great.
Now, that was actually a really good night. I was going through a lot of rough things around that time. My grandmother was dying. Oh. So, I was. Mm. So, last thing, when I showed up, I was like, oh, God, I wonder if he still hates me. And then, literally, that whole. All right. Last conversation that night, I remember that made my entire night. I was like, wow. It's like,
dude, You guys were great. You were so good though. Like, I'm not lying. You were. Mm-hmm. I was shocked because it was 1984, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, man, they're going after us. They normally stick on the band that sucks after us. Like, it's like a rough thing. No, for real. Like, that happens sometimes when you go out of state. Like, that just happens. The last band of the night, they don't save the good stuff for. And I was, you were so good. I was shocked. I couldn't believe, dude. What's your singer's name? I don't even know.
Jack.
Jack sings fucking great, man.
Thank you.
Great. And I'm like watching. I'm like, fuck, the sound is huge. The drums were great. I wanted to not like your bass player. He was fucking awesome. He was awesome. And I was like, jazz influenced bass player. I like how he plays there. I was shocked. I loved it. And then that's, I knew we were going to play together again. Like,
thank God we did. Yeah. And that was a fun show, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to bring that lineup again and again, but. Booking's weird, man. Like, there's all these weird dates they gave us. Somebody can't make it. I'm not available. Then have you guys played Connie Rickrack in South Street yet? Or South Philly, I mean?
I've actually never heard of that, so no.
I've never played it. It's been around, like, as long as we have, and we've never played it. And then we almost played it, and then I'm in a wedding that day, and we can't play the fucking date. I'm like, fuck.
Well, speaking of upcoming shows, we have a few coming up, actually.
So read them off, man.
Well, thanks to you, we have Kung Fu Necktie, I believe. Well, I believe it's still happening because
what happened? Something
well, because Mindless Self, what are they? Mindless Self Indulgence, I think they're called.
The guys from New York.
Yeah, I think their drummer quit or something.
Are you serious?
But the date's there, so we've been kind of throwing.
Go fucking play it, man.
That's the plan. So
it's like a Thursday evening, right?
I think it's Friday.
Is it a Friday?
That's even better. It's next month, so I got time to check my schedule, see what it is, and then we're doing Half Times in Newark, which I don't know if you played there. But that's
Half Times is over on 896 over here.
Was it Pale Dog before?
Yes, it was Pale Dog.
So it's a great venue.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't invite Starscream, just saying.
Well, I didn't put the show together.
I
myself.
Have no in there. Can you get me an in there, like the contact?
I can, actually. I think they're actually looking for one more. You know, I'm going to make that happen.
Well, I don't know if we're available. I shouldn't say that. But I would like just to play a show there and have you, like, play together.
Oh, yeah. That's all I care about. No, we could definitely make that happen.
It's a great venue. Now, the woman I'm married to right now, you met Jay.
Yeah.
She lived right next door to that fucking bar. Mm-hmm. There's, like, apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. For years. It was Pale Dog when I first met her, and then I would go visit her. I'm like, I used to play there. It's Pale Dog. And it was closed for, like, a long time. And now it's called Halftime.
Halftime, yeah.
That's a good place.
That's where Dave played, and I, you know, he's like, "Yo, dude, you're like right around a corner from there. You got to come to the
Corpse
show."
Corpse Order, right?
Yeah, Corpse Order. So immediately I dropped everything. I was like, "Okay, when are you playing?" And I went over there.
Oh, you go to Dave's shows, do you?
Yeah. No,
I played 1984 with this guy.
Wait a second.
And
wait
you
a second.
The fuck up,
I told you 1984. I did not see it on Facebook. I did not see shit. All right. Excuse me.
Then I played Oddity Bar. You didn't show up to that one.
I've never played there.
You never played there?
I did in...
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
So that band's, I think, dead. Did you hear what happened in that whole thing?
Isaac left, right?
Yeah. What the fuck, man? You know, here's my place. What the fuck, man? Like, listen, I don't know if you admit it. The guy's a great bass player.
He is.
Like, he's a great bass player.
He is.
He's a good musician. He's naturally talented. He just quit. He's going to fucking play bass for God. I swear that's what he said. I'm playing bass for God now.
Oh my God, is he fucking head?
I didn't say that, just so we're clear. But I don't support the decision. I don't understand the decision. And frankly, it freaks me out. I've been in a rock band since 1991. Ever since I've been in a rock band. Like, my entire life. How the fuck do you just stop one day? And, like, they're not bad.
They're not.
I don't like the drummer, you know, because he can't fucking play. But besides that, besides the fact the drummer can't fucking play, they're okay.
Yeah.
I like Barry. I love Barry. I love Barry.
He was the nicest guy in the world.
And the nice, right? That guy carried a fucking... He dropped a couch off a third-story building with me. That's a man. For real. And then I just date the fucking drummer. I know you're never going to hear this, but you can't fucking play. And you know that I know that you know that I know that you can't fucking play. Just give up. And I know that you sabotaged that fucking kick drum that night because magically when Ascension Drive played the fucking drums, they didn't fly across the stage anymore. That'll never happen again, by the way.
Funny story.
It fucking happened, motherfucker. Hey. Tell me I'm lying. No. Tell me I'm lying. You were there, Vince.
I was there.
So, you want to know what Rob, you want to hear fucking story?
No, I'm listening.
This is my brother-in-law. I married his sister, okay?
Okay.
He didn't even fucking know how to book shows. He really didn't. He's like, what do you do? So, I taught him how to book a fucking show because he's going to be my brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
So, now they're booking shows. Mm-hmm. They get Vince. By the way, Vince is a badass fucking guitar player. Okay. We'll discuss that in a minute, too. Vince is fucking badass. So, he comes in, he's playing with them. Now we're playing together. I literally don't lie to Isaac. I say, listen, your fucking drummer can't play. He's never going to get it. He can't find the one. His meter's all over the place. It's just a fact of life. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to agree, but I'm fucking not dumb. So I'm telling you, drummer can't fucking play. I tell my brother-in-law this. I'm like, don't tell your drummer what I'm saying. I'm just letting you know he can't play. He fucking tells the guy. He fucking told him. So now the guy hates me. I'm fine with it. You know what? I can sing. You should fucking learn how to fucking play drums. That's your fucking job, right? Yeah, I took lessons. Take fucking lessons. Yeah. Buy a metronome. Find the one. Just find the one. But that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We book a show together. I say to Isaac, do I have to bring a drum kit? I will. I own 3 fucking drum kits. 3.
Yeah.
I'll bring one. No. You can use our drum kit. No problem. You're going to use our bass rig, Isaac. No problem. Everybody's happy, right? Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
We go to the fucking show. We set up. Everything's cool. First band plays, no problem. Or actually, were they first, right?
This was 1984?
It was 4 bands.
Okay. 1984?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was an opener.
Yeah, it was Rapid Intake, I think.
Was it really?
They're awesome. I love those guys.
That guitar plays a little weird, too, actually. But
Patrick?
A little bit.
He's actually a very good friend of mine. Every time I hear him play, I just want to.
They're a good band.
Though. They're amazing.
They are a good band.
Wow.
So they play, then Isaac's band fucking plays, right?
Yeah.
And now it's time for us. Magically, the drummer vanishes, and he takes with him the feet that hold the kick drum. I'm not a drummer. I don't fucking know this, right? I set it up. Now, my drummer hits like a Mack fucking truck.
Yeah,
if you're going to be in Starscream, you got to hit hard.
Yeah.
Vince's drummer also hits very hard. Just saying. But the point is, if you're going to play with my fucking band, you hit hard.
No, I know.
So he kicks the fucking drum, and it flies across the fucking
Holy
stage.
Holy shit.
Now he's pissed. And he's fucking, he's Spanish. He's mad. You ever get a Spanish mad drummer behind you? It's a bad scene. He's behind you.
I believe you.
As I fuck everything up. So I'm holding my foot on the kick pedal. Not moving, or I'm sorry, on the kick drum as he's hitting the fucking thing. And it's flying across the fucking stage. He's like, I fucking hate this! Rah! All through the set as he's playing,
God.
Right? We get through the set because we're professionals.
Yeah.
Magically, Ascension Drive's going to go on. They found the legs for the drums. Here they are. Here's the legs for the drums, just for your set. And they had the balls to say to me, oh, well, we didn't have legs on the drums when we played. And why the fuck are they back for Ascension Drive? So the drummer knows I hate him. My brother-in-law is out of the fucking band. Fuck that drummer. And here's the thing. My memory is long.
So,
and I will never forget that happened.
No. So basically your brother-in-law, Isaac.
Fucked me over.
Fucked you over.
And told his drummer that the drummer sucks. By the way, the drummer does suck, by the way.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know why he sucks? It's his job to play like this. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Here's how he plays.
Oh my God!
Oh God!
You were fucking you. Anyway,
well, you suck.
Find the one.
Yeah, find the one.
Kind of funny you said that because when I
because
I did play in that band, as we know,
you were a hired gun.
I was a hired gun.
Your band.
And so Ascension's very first show, we only had 3 songs ready. We decided, fuck it, we'll go play open mic.
We're going fucking jam, yeah.
And Arsonist Choir played right before us.
Okay.
And so Isaac was talking to me. He said, oh, we've written more songs since we kicked you out. I was like, how many, Isaac? He said, 2 more. And so I sat around and watched. They played the same 6 songs I played with them, which, you know.
Respectable,
you know. So we come up, and there's only 2 guys watching. It's me and Jack, my singer.
Yeah.
And then, so we go up. We start playing our 3 songs, and all of a sudden, this entire bar comes and watches us.
Because it was good, man.
And it was. So I had a little moment there where I was kind of like,
that's a good feeling.
No, I like Isaac. I think he's a really good guy. He's a little much at times.
I'm a little mad at Isaac, truth be told. But that's neither here nor there. I do not respect him quitting rock and roll. It makes no fucking sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck his drummer. His former drummer. And you'll never hear this. But if you do, I won't forget. Ever. And I'm old, and I'm young-looking, and 10 years from now, when you're still not finding the fucking one, I'll still be here, and I'll still be booking shows, and I'll get to share with you, you can't find the one.
He's went all Liam Neeson over here.
I'm angry.
Yes, he is.
And you know what's fucked up? Vince, I'm still mad at people from, like, 1995.
Yeah.
For real. Like, still mad at them, and know what they did, and how they did it, and what the fuck happened. They ever show up, I'll read them off.
I've known Vex.
What? Go ahead, sir.
Known Vex since I was
89.
He was 15.
I think it is.
Yeah, 89.
89.
He lived a block up from me when I was living
in
Philly.
Our whole lives.
You get this man on the wrong side of you,
It's not that. Well, I'm not going to do anything.
Well, no, no. I'm just saying.
But I'm not going to forget.
You're not going to forget.
And I know
that's
fucking
what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're going to murder them or anything, but I'm saying I know how you are, dude. You will never forget.
This is a business of who you know, yeah. And I know them all.
Yeah, you do.
I learned that the hard way.
That's it.
I didn't do anything to you either.
Yeah.
You didn't. I left before you could at that point.
I think that never was a bad night.
I was in there
like,
going,
listen, I'm not going to watch a shitty band play. I'm going to work at Amazon.com.
No, it wasn't that. It was...
I was so...
I'm sorry.
I don't work there anymore.
We just got done our show.
I just ordered something from them today, a ladder for my job today.
I know
Amazon's evil. Like, I'm not dumb, but goddamn, it's convenient. It really is. I click my phone.
It really is.
It's free shipping. It's here in 2 days. You can't beat that. Yeah. I'm getting a ladder on Sunday. Who does that?
Hell.
Ascension Drive.
Ascension Drive.
So there's a record in the works, right?
Well, we put an EP out.
It's out. I'm an
on
asshole.
On Bandcamp, actually.
Okay, I heard
and
about
on
this.
On iTunes and Spotify.
What's the name of the record?
It's called Year of the Phoenix.
Okay, I dig that. So it's a 2018 release, though, or is it
2017? It was basically, well, technically, it's 2017.
What month did it come out? Let me guess. Was it October? Because October's your favorite month.
Oh. It was September.
Close enough. So wait, you're October what? What's your birthday?
October 9th.
And what? 10-9?
No.
What?
Everything is October.
It is. So what is the anniversary between you and your girlfriend?
Well, we decided.
I did that, too.
Because, you know, how we met was abnormal
and
random when she moved from Texas to Delaware.
Okay.
We decided – oh, it's so funny because how we met and how the internet is crazy. I was wondering how the hell am I going to introduce her to my parents.
Why?
Because I don't know.
You think they would be weird?
Well,
your parents are cool as fuck.
My parents are amazing.
Like, they really are.
But, yeah, yes, they are. But – so then while I'm thinking this, I get a call from – a doctor from my father's doctor. So my father has cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he's doing great, by the way,
okay,
in case you're wondering.
We're definitely wondering.
But he needed a bone marrow transplant.
Now, Robot, you don't know this, but this is heavy.
No, okay. I know.
So then doctor tells me on the phone, you and your sister are the matches.
How old is your sister?
My sister is 21.
Okay, so she's younger than you.
She's much younger than me, and so... I have another brother, too, but he's autistic, and okay. So I think that's what made him not the match.
Older, younger?
Younger.
Okay.
I'm the oldest. And so so I'm sitting there thinking about all kinds of things, wondering, because I was about to go into my busy season at Amazon.
Yeah, dude. You call out then, they'll kill you. They'll kill you. It's like craziness. Johnny Mack used to work there, but go ahead.
Okay.
So what happened was, so I'm sitting there driving thinking, oh, maybe my sister could do it. Then I had a moment where I'm thinking, the hell is wrong with
it's
me?
It's a job. Fuck a job.
And it's like, I didn't want my sister's going, is a senior in college. She's taking her exams.
Oh, wow. That's
and
heavy,
so,
bro. Where'd she go?
UD. she's graduating this year.
That's a very expensive school, sir.
She's
wow. That's
good for her. Did you go there?
Yes, I did.
Did you graduate?
Yes, I did.
What's your degree in?
Creative writing.
That's fucking awesome.
That's really
Where's
awesome.
Your podcast? What the fuck? Why are you on my podcast?
In the works. YouTube.
Yeah.
Do YouTube. Do a guitar channel.
That's
nice.
Amazing. We're going to get to that in a second. So tell me the story. Go ahead.
So I'm sitting there, and I decided point blank I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I call up my job and request FMLA status.
Which they can't deny
that. Yeah, they can't
that.
Deny
this
that.
Is
it's government.
Medical.
Yeah.
And so then I call my mother and to tell her that
sure, the good news.
I'm the donor. And then she said they told her that donors had been found, but they would not know until they talked about donors. So I said, I'm the choice, blah, blah, blah. Then right in that moment, I blurted out everything about my girlfriend. The whole real story, no made up truth,
by
no
the way,
nothing.
Oh, by the way,
I decided, God. You know what? This is a stressful moment for everyone. I'm here worrying about this. So I said, screw it. Let's go.
And she didn't give a fuck, did she?
She was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm weird.
Yeah, like,
I was just like,
why would she care?
And so then 2 days later.
It wasn't like Pretty Woman. She wasn't a prostitute. You're okay.
2 days later, they met my parents, and we decided it was going to be, I believe, October 26th or October 27th. It's around one of those 2 days. She's probably going to hear this much later and kill me, so I'm sorry.
Well, no, listen. October 27th was my second wedding anniversary, so don't make it that. Make it October 26th.
But I just know I didn't, because the 21st is my father's birthday, so I didn't want to correlate there. And my brother's October 14th. That's his birthday. Aww. So, yeah, October's crazy.
The Mighty Ascension Drive is supporting this record. You're playing a bunch of shows. Where are a few of the places you might be playing that we haven't already discussed?
Well, actually, I can proudly say we're also about to play the legendary Auto Bar down in Baltimore.
Really?
In May.
How did you secure that gig?
We're actually very good friends with a group called Offensive. And their guitar player, Leon, I'm going to butcher his last name.
Just say Leon. It's okay.
Leon.
Leon, the guitar player from Offensive.
We played with them quite a few times, and so he's booking a big show down at Auto Bar.
Auto Bar.
Yeah.
And that's a weekend, I'm assuming?
That is a weekend.
Fucking
it's in
A, man.
It's in May. I think it's May 20th. But the venue itself is
huge.
Oh my god! Like bands like Lamb of God, Def Cab for Cutie,
so it's huge.
Fucking Maroon 5 even. Like before they were huge.
Fuck Maroon. I got a Maroon 5 story. You want to hear a fucking story about them?
I would. I actually don't mind Maroon 5, but
I don't mind them per se either. But we'll get to that. So it's like, go ahead.
No, you first. Actually, all right. I want to hear the story.
How do I do this? The last record that came out for Starscream, because we're making a new record, was fucking, 3-4 years ago? It was called, what's the name of the record?
Some Flaws.
Some Flaws. I don't even fucking know. My friend Robot knows. So the name of the record was Some Flaws. Some Flaws made a video. Now this gets really deep. Fuck it, we're going to get really deep. There was a video for a song called Before the Fall, which was the official single. It was directed by Michael Belinsky, who is the band manager of Starscream, and the guy who supports all this fucking podcast shit for us, and he made a bunch of movies and blah, blah, blah. So Michael Belinsky directs this video. We get some beautiful young lady covered in tattoos to be in the video. It looks cool. We get a bunch of kids in a place. They're jumping up and down. We shoot all day. It turns out really cool. It gets interest for us from Sony. Now, you guys have heard of, I'm blanking on the fucking name. They just played in Philadelphia. It doesn't matter. So this label that is located, Standby Records, which is located in Cleveland, Ohio, broke the band Black Veil Brides. So they're coming off that huge victory. They're a big label. They're under Sony, right? They sold Black Veil to like Lava Records or something, and then they went. But this is the label that finds you and then takes you to that, and it's under the Sony banner. So we're super excited. They have interest in Starscream. The video got 5,000 plays or 10,000 plays, which was good for a local band that no one's ever fucking heard of.
Holy shit.
So they reach out to us. We go there. We meet the producer named Don DiBiase. Don DiBiase is pretty fucking cool. We work with him. We stay at the studio. It's a complex, actually. They had quarters for us, beds, fucking everything. It was great. And it was free. Brought us out to record us. If they liked us, they were going to maybe offer us a deal. So we get in the bus. We drive to Cleveland, Ohio. We get our shit together. So Don's a good guy. Don is working with us and doing the production with us, and he was in a band back in the day. I forget the name of the band. They were going to get signed in 2001 to a major label. Their manager had juice. He's the guy who now runs the label that brought us out, right?
Shit.
They had a full tour bus take them to the audition. It's like Capitol or some huge fucking label.
Yeah.
Nickelback had just broken. This other label was going to be like, this is our Nickelback. Whoever we sign tonight, we're going to put all of our fucking presence, or we're going to push, right? It was J Records. So J Records is like, we're going to have our own fucking Nickelback. This guy's band is that band. And they're like, listen, this is your gig, but we're going to slip somebody else on the gig just to let them play. And it's fucking Maroon 5. Right? But they're not any good yet. So Maroon 5 comes inside this guy's bus, who I kind of know, right? Now, because he worked with us. And the Maroon 5 guy's like, oh, you guys are so good. Your band is so tight. How do you do this? And asking questions. How do you work on your stage presence? And they were like, oh, it's cool, kid. We'll talk you through this. Well, here's where it gets weird. J Records is like, we have millions of dollars. We're going to sign somebody. But we want to make you more pop-oriented. And this band's like, well, no, we have our songs. We're tight. We have our shit together. We don't want that. And Maroon 5's like, we'll do whatever you tell us. Whatever you tell us, we're going to do.
Oh my God.
Whatever you want. And they got the fucking deal. And they worked on them for a year and a half or 2 years. Then the record comes out. And now Adam Levine's a fucking big star doing fucking acne commercials and on The Voice.
Yeah.
And our guy's fucking in a studio somewhere making records. And then they didn't fucking sign us on top of that.
Holy shit.
That's okay. That's all right. Then that label got sued later by Davey Suicide a year later because the label was fucking him over. You guys know who Davey Suicide is?
No.
Neither do I, really. But he seems to be a big deal in the goth fucking thing. Nice guy. Look him up on fucking line. Google him. He's cool as shit. Okay. He was signed to that label, and that label fucked him. Like, he's on tour with huge bands. Like, he's opening up, but they weren't, like, supporting him. And he sued them and won, and we would have got the same kind of shitty deal.
Holy shit. Thank God we
didn't get it.
Yeah.
But it was fucking Sony, man. It was like, you know, we almost. And that was a few years ago. And that's when that record came out. So now we're making a new record, and I can't say anything on the podcast, but something's in the works.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this time it's under...
You heard it here, folks.
Well, you didn't really hear anything, but it's under Universal Records. So hopefully this new record gets picked up by the people we want it to get picked up by. And then this podcast will be mobile as I'm touring the country.
Nice.
In Starscream. But yeah, that's
we'll
my
have
story.
We'll have to Skype in then.
Yeah, well, you're coming with me. You don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay, sweet. Woohoo.
Sunset Drive as opener.
Yeah, I love your band.
You're definitely going to have a seat open for Japan when you tour?
You want to go?
Yeah.
We were talking about it. I got to go to Japan. We never did Japan ever. You got a passport, Vince?
I do.
Fucking, you need one, man. You make your band get a fucking passport. You guys got to go and do some road work.
All right, you guys heard this.
It's what's happening. Not for me. I'm an old man. Get your own shit. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love Ascension Drive. So any plans for a new recording, any new songs, like what's going
on? Actually, yes. We're talking right now.
Okay.
The consensus is we want to do two new recordings of two songs actually we've been playing a lot. Okay. Tomb and Brother. Brother's kind of the more softer song of the more ballady songs.
Okay.
I love ballads. So I don't.
Do you really?
I do. I have a soft spot for a ballad in there.
We have ballads. We never play them live because it's a kind of it's a room killer. Like, we're all, like, up. You know, you're in a band. You know what it's like. You're just fucking bam, 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 bam. That fucking ballads kill it, man. People are like, oh, I don't want to hear
this.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, energy,
and it's like, this is the song where we go get beer.
It's funny because one of our songs off the EP is called A View from the Top. That's actually a love song that I kind of wrote for my now ex-girlfriend. It's funny because it's my girlfriend's favorite song too, and she kind of had mixed feelings about it.
You gotta tell her the secret. If the song's about you, there's a good chance we broke up. Like, my wife tells me all the time, she's like, write a song about me, and I'm like, but we're married and we're happy. All my songs are about negative ass shit that happened. You don't want a song about you, believe me.
But
believe me,
it's funny with that one because we put that on the EP. It was actually not supposed to be recorded at first. It was we had another song there, but we noticed that one got a lot of attention and good attention. So
good.
We decided to do that. So the week before or a few days before I was supposed to go in the studio, the relationship ended. I was just like, I don't want to do it. And it took me a while to finally start liking it again. But
dude, just lie and say it's about your girl now. Yeah, no, believe me, no one's going to hear this podcast. Actually, I have a thing to tell you. So Chris has been pushing this, going, this Monday, you're going to hear something awesome. No, you're not. This Monday, it's like, I think a three-part... No, actually, this Monday's me and you fighting about Transformers or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are on episode 14 right now.
Mm-hmm.
This Monday's only episode 5. So you got like fucking 2 months before you come out. So let the boys know that not to push... I mean, push Vex on Vex podcast because Robot needs the money. I need the money. Listen to that shit and fucking, you know, sponsorship and all. But the point is, I don't want you guys to think it's coming out this Monday. I'm really sorry.
Of course, yeah. No, it's fine.
But no, Chris was like, dude, this Monday, something special on the Vex on Vex podcast.
He's great at that.
But I'm like, dude, we're going to talk about Transformers for like 90 minutes. Like, there's nothing that special on Monday, believe me.
And then they get to us, and then the first minute or so, we're talking about Star Wars.
Dude, it was like 20 minutes of fucking Star Wars. We're still going to end with that, by the way, because that's what it's about, goddammit.
Yeah, but...
Oh, fuck no. We have things to talk about. Vince, we're running out of time.
Oh, no.
When you were 12 years old, who were your top five favorite bands? Let's start with number 5.
Okay. Well, can I say something before that?
Of course.
Really fast. So 12 years old was actually very interesting for me. Because
it was like 6 weeks ago?
No. For you, it's like how many years, Vex?
Hold on. Like 30 years.
30 years?
I'm 42. I really am. You look fucking shocked. How old's your dad? Probably my age.
He's in his 50s.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
I'm 44.
But 12 years old, I was still... at a point where I was starting to discover my own.
No, that's the point. That's why that's the magical age, because the shit that you grow and you love, at 12, little Vince was into like, fucking, hold on, let me do some math. 28, right? 18, hold on. So you were into like Backstreet Boys, which would be great. It's like, at 12.
Actually, that would have been like 6, 7, because I was born in 1990.
I know.
So... But at 12, I was listening to a lot of what my parents would listen
which,
to.
Well, which, give me the number five band.
Number five, actually, this is going to be crazy, but Bruce Springsteen.
How's that crazy? Where on earth do you think that's crazy? That guy's a songwriter and a half. Yes.
And that's, I still love Bruce Springsteen. My dad, I probably heard Born to Run, Born in the USA.
That's the record.
Darkness on the Edge of Town.
USA's fine. Born to Run is the record. Here's the thing. Vince, I know that people who are 28 probably give you shit for liking Bruce Springsteen.
I respect that.
But I'm going to tell you something. He was the biggest fucking star in the world when I was 12. Mm-hmm. There was nobody more famous than Bruce Springsteen. You remember that shit, right? Now, I'm not a Springsteen fan per se, but I write songs. And tell me, the Born to Run sessions by themselves, just the record, layering.
Oh, beautiful.
The horns. The fucking Max on the drums, dude. Like, that's a fucking band. It's a big man.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all looking up, rest in peace. We're gay. But the point is, we're like, oh, rest in peace, big man. But no, for real, that sound, Born to Run is fucking magical.
Is.
I'm not even a Bruce guy, but god damn, it's good. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me Skrillex and give me Born to Run. Oh, I think Born to Run might fucking win that, dude. So that doesn't weird me out. And don't be embarrassed by anything you say. Even if it is the Backstreet Boys, I'll make fun of you, but it'll be fun. So number five is Bruce Springsteen. Dude, that's a great lineage. Who's number four?
Number four, going off the, I was Bruce Springsteen was my father's collection.
Understood.
Now for four is Styx from my mother's side.
But see, another great fucking band. Mm. Like Styx, here's the thing. I don't know. You're young, but there was a point. They were huge in the 80s, right? But then when the 90s came, they were like a cheeseball act. People rolled their eyes, and they were like, Styx is cheesy. And then in the late 90s, they had a huge resurgence because those fucking songs are fucking great.
Yes, they are.
Again, layered guitar, harmonies, brilliant musicianship. This is why you're such a good musician. Like, you really, really had the best shit started out. We didn't. Well, you did. You had fucking Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
I had fucking... Man, I had The Gambler from Kenny Rogers.
That's a good song, though. It just goes back. Like, I mean, I had two younger uncles, and they were hip. They were in the what at the time was considered metal.
Yeah.
And my one other uncle was in the punk. So
that's a great combination.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for me because with my family's music collection, man, it was just all over the place. So I was exposed to so much as a kid. Like my father and mother are huge Broadway geeks. So I would hear...
Okay, that would make me roll my eyes. I'm not going to lie to you. But now that's getting kind
of
gay.
I was exposed to a lot of that when I was a kid. So the theatrical music, like the storytelling music, that always appealed to me. Then Queen. I would hear a lot of Queen.
Now, is that your number three?
No, actually. My number three is actually a little embarrassing, actually.
They're all embarrassing. Who's number three?
Number three, you mentioned them earlier, actually. Not Maroon 5, but Nickelback, of all things. All
right. Now, no. Fuck you. We're going to speak the truth between us. We're going to speak the fucking truth.
Let's hit it.
You tell me that fucking guy can't write songs.
Oh,
you can't say it. You can't say it.
I
don't even like Nickelback. But when they come on a fucking radio, I don't change a channel. Because the shit's really, really well sculpted. I'm a songwriter. Yeah. I've been chasing. All right. I'm going to go on a tangent. I'm really sorry.
Go ahead.
Go on a tangent.
Do you know Yesterday by the Beatles?
Yes.
It is 2 minutes and 11 seconds long. It is pop perfection. Let me tell you why I say this. Those lyrics are so deep and apply to you if you're 7 years old or 77 years old. Because everybody remembers a time yesterday that was a little better than today. It's just the way it works. The fucking hook is infectious. It is pop perfection. And I have spent my life chasing that song.
I think we all have.
And Nickelback's gotten very close. Now, these are not classics per se, but that first fucking single.
Hey, Remind Me.
Yes.
That was everywhere.
To this day, love that fucking song. And go ahead.
Yeah.
That's a great fucking song. He is not a great guitar player. He will tell you he is not a great guitar player. Now, I hate to admit it, but tell me live footage of Nickelback doesn't blow your fucking mind. That rhythm section will break your ribs.
So funny,
they're
actually
heavy, bro.
So funny, actually. That was the first band I saw live when I was 13.
You don't ever be embarrassed in Nickelback. That guy has $90 million. That guy has an indoor hockey rink in his fucking house.
Holy shit.
You know how big a hockey rink is, right?
Yes,
he owns one.
God,
like,
damn.
I think I'm fancy because I own a Harley and there's no payment.
Yeah.
No. A hockey rink.
Okay.
And now, I don't like his choice in bitches. I don't like that wife he married. Mm-hmm. For real. Fuck that chick. Yeah, Avril Lavigne? No. She's aight. But you have fucking $90 million. Yeah. You can fuck 10 Avril Lavigne's. What are you doing? Not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
He can write fucking songs.
He can. And that was going back on. So for me, even though I'm a guitar player, I've always been a songwriter too at heart.
That's
and
the point. You have
I always
to.
Gravitated towards deep lyrics. So
now, all right, let's not lie to ourselves.
not necessarily deep lyrics from
old,
him.
Old photograph song.
Really, oh, no, not that song,
these
but
are
I'm talking about.
Introspective. You want deep? Go listen to some Alice in Chains fucking records.
No,
that's some deep shit.
They're one of my favorite bands. But even with them, though, there's some B-sides of Nickelback. Like, there's a song called Throw Yourself Away.
Yeah.
Which opening line is, baby's born on a bathroom floor. Her mother prays it'll never cry. Nothing wrong, but you have your prom dress on. When he asks, he says, it's never mine.
And
that's
no, but here's
dark.
My issue. That isn't the face they show the world. You said it yourself. It's a B-side. So the artistic integrity for Nickelback is shaken because he's chasing mm-hmm. pop. And it's – you have to – all right. This gets deep.
Okay.
Do you guys know about the Stooges at all or Iggy
yes.
Pop?
Yes, yeah. I do.
None of those songs were ever conceived for commercial in mm-hmm. any capacity. A lot of them have ended up in commercials mm-hmm. because they're just fucking up-tempo poppy tunes.
Yeah, it's like –
but they're dark and they're brooding and they're introspective, and that is what art is. If we're discussing pop, Nickelback does win. But I'll tell you this, Nickelback has more integrity to me than Bon Jovi. Fuck Bon Jovi.
Oh, we
did you hear
about
me
bon
bitch and
Jovi.
Moan about that in the first podcast?
I did not.
You said you listened, you motherfucker.
I started at 4, I didn't.
No,
only
okay.
5. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you only started at episode 4.
I started episode 4.
So
it was the first one I was able to find.
So you
on the
heard
app.
Johnny Zero.
I did hear Johnny Zero. That guy.
That guy.
That guy. I like Johnny Zero. The blonde
we
thing.
Love you,
that made my day. That was
I
so
do
funny.
Love Johnny Zero. He's fucking, he's madness. If you could bottle madness, it's Johnny fucking Zero. All right.
So number 2.
Number 2
for me, product of my generation, Blink-182.
Okay, gay. There's nothing redeeming there. There's nothing
I can
say.
It's the
gay.
Pop thing that
And I don't mean homosexual, like I suck cocks gay.
Yeah.
Just gay. Like, oh, so
not
gay.
Happy. Not.
Like, good drummer, but he's not the drummer. He's like the third fucking drummer. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Travis Barker's not the drummer. And then, oh, man, there's nothing redeeming in there. Like, there's nothing I can give you. But like, well, no. Fuck Blink-182. And like they have that one song that was on Dude Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. When they're like, I'm only what was their first hit?
Damn It, I think. No.
Yeah, maybe.
Marcus would know.
Yeah, he's gay too then. No, I'm sorry. fuck. It doesn't matter. That one song is really, it's a great hook. And then they just went over the edge and they're like, hi, we're the gayest punk. Like, don't call yourself fucking punk.
It's
I know a thing or six
hole.
About punk.
Yes.
And you ain't fucking punk. Sorry. Hi, we're Blink-182. Shut the fuck up. The guitar player left. He's like, this is gay. I have to leave.
Yeah, but isn't he trying to, like, make a spaceship now or something?
Something like that.
No.
He's going to build Millennium Falcon or something.
Exactly what he's doing. Tell me we wouldn't. Tell me if you had the money, you would be trying to build a Millennium Falcon right fucking now.
Not the Millennium Falcon. This thing looks like a freaking, I don't know.
I want to make an AT-AT walker in my yard for my kid to play on. Like, that's my dream, man.
It's not hard. Awesome.
Well, then come over and build it. I'll buy the fucking wood, motherfucker.
I'm not building
it.
You're
not
helping
hard.
Me.
It's not
you're
hard.
You're helping me.
Number one.
I could do it for me.
This was that band for me was probably my gateway into like hard rock heavy metal was Linkin Park when I was a kid.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm not gonna.
Oh, he's still going.
See, there's nothing there. Like, all right, that guy got molested and that sucks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of money. And he could have really went to counseling and really dealt with it. He killed himself. He left his kids. He left his wife. If you say hard rock and heavy metal and you think Linkin Park is it, you're wrong. You're just wrong. I love you. You're wrong. That isn't it. That is a pop, sterilized, dated version of it. Because the DJ thing, they rapped over it. He could sing. It's not that he couldn't sing. It's just that Linkin Park. My drummer is much younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Joey's 25, I think. Mm-hmm. 93. So he'll be 25 if he's not already. He loves them. Like, they, mm-hmm. the guy dies. Like, oh, my God, he died. Oh, it's so awful.
No. The joke is if you get the thing in an STP, you're going to die. That's what that means. But yep. Does that mean making a lot of noise? That does make me a lot of noise. Yeah. Really? Linkin fucking Park? Really?
For me, it was just like, that's when I discovered I like loud guitars.
But they're not that loud. They're no Zach Wilde. Well, and I know you love you some Zach Wilde.
I do. But that first album for me was Hybrid Theory. That was when I just heard how the rhythm and everything had a bounce to it. Like, that appealed to me. And just the raw aggression that I was hearing when I was a kid.
The kids are just wrong, man. They're just wrong. Linkin, number two and number one. Like, these are the highest rankings. You didn't throw Queen in there. I fucking adore Queen.
Well, it's kind of like, but it was kind of like, you know, stuff my parents listened to and the stuff I started discovering.
Okay.
And that's...
When you were a kid, were you ever into pro wrestling ever, like when you were little?
Believe it or not, I wasn't.
You didn't? I was for a few years. And I discovered Black Sabbath through pro wrestling. Because the Road Warriors were a wrestling team. And they came out to Iron Man. And at like 7, I'm like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck? I couldn't say fuck. I'm like, what is that? What is that noise? And I went and I tracked it down and I found it on a cassette tape. I just spit on you. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
And so I discovered Black Sabbath through that. I discovered Queen because another guy had We Will Rock You as his sound. I'm like, what is that? I have to learn this. And that's where I really got into it. Anyway, it's not about me. It's about you. So yes, Linkin Park number one with a bullet. Oh, bullet because he killed himself. But he hung himself.
But on that though, it's kind of like, I don't mean to cause a debate here or anything, but you know, he could have gotten counseling, but also I just want to add Chris Cornell.
Say that again?
Same situation with Chris Cornell, though. It's like he...
Go ahead.
And now no secret, I'm a massive, massive Chris Cornell fan.
So am I.
I saw Chris Cornell twice solo.
He's my favorite songwriter ever.
He is mine. Too. Seriously? It's up there with him and Lane Staley and Jerry Cantrell.
But Lane didn't sit down with guitars and make his own shit. Jerry Cantrell did, though. Yeah, I know. But to me, there's no parallel. I think Cornell crushes them both.
Cornell was... Everyone talks about Cobain being the greatest songwriter.
No,
I said Cornell.
No.
Cornell would smoke him.
Like, Cornell's solo records are just fucking magical.
And so, when he... Last time I saw him live was that acoustic show he did at the Grand.
Oh, my God. Oh, you got to see that?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
You know, here's the thing with Cornell, though. You don't know this about me. And this is going to get really dark, and I apologize. My first wife killed herself.
I am sorry.
No, it's okay. It was a long time ago. You were like 5. But the point is, for real, the way Cornell went out, he had like an adverse reaction mentally to the medication he was on, and he hung himself.
Yeah.
My wife did that. I didn't know this. She was on antidepressants when I met her. I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
So she just stopped taking them. She was young. She was 23. Because we got married. She was happy. And we were together for months, you know. Not a long time. And I went on tour, and I was gone for like a week and a half, and I came home, maybe 2 weeks, and I came home, and I was home 3 or 4 days, and then she was gone. I was playing that gig.
Yeah, you played that gig.
You played home. That night.
Yeah, well, that was the night after. You came home.
And then I was there.
And you walked in.
But here's what happened. So she had stopped taking this medication, and it made her flip out. So I understand how Chris Cornell went over that edge, and I understand how she went over that because I lived through it. But when you hear the Linkin Park thing... I don't know. It was like in his forefront of his mind. He was friends with Chris. Like, then there's the fucking theory that my friends will tell you that this is all set up by the government.
Mm.
That they killed both of them because they were trying to shut down, like, child pornography and shit.
Me personally, you know, it's... And I was shocked. Chris Cornell actually died the same day as my grandmother. So
Bad day, right?
And so I got that phone call from my father. Told me... And I just woke up.
Yeah.
It was 7 in the morning. He told me, you know, she passed in her sleep. So I was already miserable.
Really, yeah.
And he said, by the way, I don't want you to just so you know before you go online, Chris Cornell all of a sudden. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And that's I started reading everything. And I was, you know, out of everybody in that scene, which, let's be honest, everyone had problems in that scene.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But out of everybody, I thought he and Vedder had done their demons and gotten their shit together. Like,
it appeared.
You
it appeared, looked at, didn't it? It did appear.
And that was the shocker for me. And, you know.
But, I mean, that guy had a very long drug abuse history.
He did.
And that does damage your frontal cortex and things of that nature. Does. Like, you never really recover sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's sad the Linkin Park guy's dead. I don't care. I just don't get it. I don't like the music. Mm-hmm. I like him as a person. I loved him in STP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, he was great.
But not to see that record's not that good, though. That single's really good, and the rest of it's kind of like, eh. But I did love him in STP. I respected him. He's literally exactly my age, which always upset me because he's famous and I'm obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Chris Cornell upset me greatly. I was very upset by that. And this is kind of the end of the podcast. Do you want to stay for another episode?
I can stay for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Either you commit for the episode or you don't.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's
so we've been hour. Joined by our friend Vince, Ascension Drive League guitar player. Can we discuss gear next episode? I want to discuss gear.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. So, Robot, guitar. Anything to say?
No. Thank you for listening. As always, so check out our Facebook.
There you go. Tell them.
And make sure that you download Podbean and listen to us on your drive to work, to your friend's house, whatever.
That's fucking well done, sir. Good Thank read. You. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're on the Loaded Loaded Network. Like Robot said, it's the Podbean application. But I'll tell you the truth of it. It's everywhere. If you Google it, it pops up.
You'll find it.
So this is VexX with guests telling you to please stay frosty.
Peace.